baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian, joined with Ben Fox, who is not in studio this time. Ben is in New York and went home for the holidays, but fortunately we have technology.
Technology is great. You know, I'm in my childhood bedroom here at my old desk, you know, doing a new podcast. It's all working.
Posters?
No posters. You know, once my younger brother came in, he remodeled it, and then now he's back from college. So now it's just kind of a more of a utility room, I would say, but it still has the old bed in it.
Gotcha. All right. We are taping this on Wednesday, December 27th in the afternoon. We got a lot of moving parts this week with week 17 in the NFL, also the college football playoff, all these bowl games going on as well. Ben, I know people were really worried. I want to alert our audience that I did win my fantasy football league, one of them, and it was a big win, very, very important.
Nice. Did that cover the holiday bills and shopping? All paid for.
You know, I need to find out how much goes to the winner there. It was nice. Nice to get that trophy. So we'll get on that. Anyways, as for chalk, obviously busy time of year. Stanford Steve and Chris Felica, the Bear, doing their podcast on bowl games. So we want to encourage our listeners to go check that out over on the Behind the Bets podcast and also their columns online as well. What else is going on?
No, bowls were the biggest thing. I mean, as we're taping, Florida State is putting a hurting on USM, 42-13, I believe. Florida State was about a 15, 16-point favorite, and that came down to minus 12. So a lot of people on the wrong end of that one currently.
Yeah, it's crazy, all these line moves. And we're going to get into it with John Murray for week 17 of the NFL. It's just so many games going on. And then let's not even forget college basketball, which is the most vulnerable that sportsbooks are. And we're going to have some guests down the road on this podcast for that. But it is a wild, wild time of year, to say the least.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, as we always discuss, kind of players and injuries, et cetera, but the biggest thing, not the biggest thing, but another huge factor this time of year that is so difficult to handicap is motivation. And it's so hard to know what these guys or the coaches or what the mood is in the locker room. And it varies so much from team to team. I know, for example, with Florida State, a lot of people thought they would kind of not want to be there. They were 6-6. Obviously, Florida State is used to being in much bigger bowl games, much closer to New Year's Day. And obviously with a backup quarterback, and they are, you know, currently waxing the other teams. So just another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. And Southern Miss is that other team. So yes, it is what it is.
They are who we thought they were.
And cold weather too. You never know what you're going to expect or get, you're going to get. But, I have a piece coming out for Chalk on Thursday on the week 17 nonsense. And I say nonsense, but look, it is crazy with all these point spreads. We've already seen some line movement this week. We'll get into with John, but you know, it goes back to what we've talked about in the podcast. Like, you and I are used to it, and many of our listeners are, but there is sports fans are really unfamiliar with just how nuanced, how volatile this week 17 can be.
Yeah, and I think if you didn't know it was week 17, there'll be some lines you look at and you go, wait a second, why are the Cowboys favorite against the Eagles? Aren't they the top seed in the NFC?
Yeah, in Philly.
In Philly. So there's, you know, as I'm sure we'll touch on, you need to make sure to do more research this week than otherwise you would. And maybe if you don't have to bet this week, I don't know, you know, maybe put the money somewhere else or not. It's up to you. But definitely a lot more research to be done to make sure you're fully kind of understanding basically which versions of the teams are playing each other.
But talking to people, it's not like you're uncovering information that others aren't. So like whatever angle you have, that's built into the line. I mean, that's the important. Like with one team incentivized to win for playoff seeding and another team's not, well, there's a tax on that team that has everything to play for.
Oh, completely. I more just mean, you know, you wouldn't want to.
I'm just letting our viewers, I'm listening to our listeners now, mm-hmm. just reminding them that you're not the only one who knows that the Ravens have to win. You didn't find that sneaky little nugget somewhere that no one else knew.
Right. Or exactly. The sports books are where Patrick Mahomes is starting for Kansas City instead of Alex Smith.
But we've seen some crazy upsets in the past. And also, I found it interesting that some books, like the Westgate, are taking max bets. They're not changing their limits at all, whereas like CG Technology is taking about half. Now, 30,000 to 15 is still a large cut, but nonetheless, it is interesting. They're just more fluid with their lines. Like they're more willing to move the number than they would be normally during the season.
Yeah, and I'm sure they also figure that the sharper players, if they really like something, obviously they're going to play it, but they're probably a little more hesitant in week 17 than they would be in other weeks, just as we said, with motivation or people sitting in the second half or things that are more difficult to handicap than normally.
Yeah, the line I heard from a couple odds makers writing that story was respect. If we respect the better, then they will move it, no questions asked, which I guess leaves the door open for middles, which maybe even more likely because of all the two-point conversions and nonsense we're going to get with trick plays and whatever.
Fake punts, yep.
Yeah, because, you know, one pet peeve of mine is you hear from national broadcasters who, you know, just really don't understand. They'll say, hey, in the preseason, they'll be like, oh, the Ravens were favored by 3, and if you're betting on preseason football, you got problems. I'm like, you know, it's actually kind of smarter to bet preseason than it is regular season, if you think about it. Just because of you might have an advantage, whereas in the regular season, I don't know. I just think people who throw away the preseason, I think there's legit angles. And if you know your stuff, you can get an angle. It's like betting, you know, the MAC in college hoops. Like you can get an angle. The problem is it's applicable to the week 17, but there's just, I feel like even more unknowns.
Completely. Preseason, I would still mostly, I don't know. It's so hard to bet on it. I do agree. If you really know your stuff, there are ways that are easier sometimes to bet preseason or bet a preseason first half, let's say, or something else. It's just, again, it's all about research. It's all about knowing these teams and in preseason and other aspects, knowing the backup players, because sometimes one backup team, you know, the backups for a team are much, much better than another one.
And I'll say this, as Deep Throat told us, follow the money. So if NFL preseason bookmakers have lower limits, that means they're more vulnerable. Now they don't have the volume to offset it, but if they're taking max bets during the regular season, it can't be that easy to beat. Let's put it at that. So we'll talk more of week 17 and even college football playoff with John Murray when we head out to Las Vegas next on the Behind the Bets podcast. Let's now head out to another state, Nevada, and bring in our friend John Murray, odds maker and manager at the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. John, we're using all of our technology here. We got New York representing Connecticut and now Nevada.
That's great, guys, and we can finally see the finish line here. Week 17 is finally here.
All right, so let's get into week 17 momentarily, but this is our final podcast before the college football playoff as bowl games are ratcheting up into this weekend. We had 3 yesterday as we were taping this on a Wednesday and 4 today. Where do things stand? What kind of action have you seen on those two national semifinals?
You know, we've actually already ridden quite a bit of money on both of those games, and we've seen some pretty interesting line movement in both. We opened Oklahoma -3 initially, and right now the Bulldogs of Georgia are actually a 2-point favorite, even though about 57% of the tickets have been on the Sooners. And then in the other game, got about 62% of the tickets on Clemson. We've seen Alabama push up from a 1-point favorite to currently they are a 3-point favorite against top-seeded Clemson.
So one thing just to follow up on is, I guess, how is this compared to last year? I know looking at the spreads, all the games are much, much closer than they have been in the college football playoff in years past. Have you seen any increase in handle, decrease, or it's hard to tell because we're still kind of pretty early on before we get going with the real betting over the weekend on these games?
Ben, it's still a little bit early, but I can say pretty confidently we'll outdo last year's handle. The second one last year, Clemson-Ohio State, was about a pick 'em, but the first game was a pretty big point spread. Alabama was a pretty big favorite against Washington. Having both of these games near pick 'em will definitely help drive handle, and the Clemson-Alabama game is about as high-profile a college football game as you can get, so we're going to write a ton of money on both these games, but most of it will show up this weekend.
So, John, just to establish, you talked about the ticket count, yet the line moves against the ticket count. And I was talking to an operator from another sports book. Sounds like sharps are on Bama and Georgia, but the ticket count is higher on the other teams.
Yeah, we've seen the guys that we respect have definitely come in on Alabama especially, and also they've been betting on Georgia. And the public has been betting Clemson, and we've seen a little bit more public money on Oklahoma in the first game. But the public has been backing Clemson, and the sharps have been taking Alabama. But you know what? The public backed Clemson heavily against Ohio State last year, and they backed Clemson very heavily against Alabama in the championship game, and they came away with wins both times.
Hmm. Public keeping it going. I mean, you know, they're going to put you guys out of business pretty soon here.
Well, you know, it's funny, the national championship game last year, we were going to lose so much on that game. I said to one of the guys I was working with, I was here that night during the game, and I said to one of the other guys, like, you know, we're going to lose about X on this game. And he's like, no, John, don't worry. We're going to win all this money in the future pool on Clemson. And I was like, no, I'm factoring in the future pool. We're still going to lose X on the game. And the room got very quiet for a moment. That was an ugly, ugly game. Everybody bet Clemson in that game. So just because everybody's betting Clemson this year again doesn't mean you shouldn't, Ben. It's worked out.
That's a good point.
But, no, I like Alabama in that game. I think people are really underestimating the loss of Deshaun Watson for Clemson.
Well, I think the most important thing that I've heard is, while this is the third straight year Clemson and Alabama are facing one another, this meeting is so different for two reasons. One, John, you just pointed out the obvious. But the second, and as a guy who hosts radio and does all immersed in college football, I kind of overlook this. Both the other meetings are after giving Saban only a week to prepare. So right. He's got 4 or 5 weeks now, and that is so different because Clemson's obviously very talented. And without Watson, like, that's an easier preparation job for Saban. Now, obviously, Dabo Sweeney's a really good coach, but I think that's very big. And let's not forget last year, the offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, just completely botched play calling and a variety of other things that, you know, it was a coin flip game at the end of the day.
For sure. And, you know, I said before the Iron Bowl when we did the show that I didn't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if Alabama lost because they'd get an extra week off when everybody else was playing conference championship games, and I thought they'd still probably get in the playoff, and they did. Alabama's had a lot of time to prepare for this game, and, you know, Nick Saban, he's the master. So, yeah, I like Alabama in this game. The other game, I don't know. I mean, I actually kind of liked Oklahoma. We opened Oklahoma as a 3-point favorite because me and Ed Sammons, we both made it about Oklahoma 3, and we've been a little surprised by seeing all the sharp money come in on Georgia, to be honest with you.
Moving along to the NFL, before we get into Week 17, which has plenty of storylines, and I know it's very difficult for both bettors and handicappers, as Mr. Kazarian will have an article on Chalk on Thursday discussing just that, want to go back to Monday Night Football, where once again the laterals strike. I don't know when teams are going to stop doing this, but it is just killing bettors and bookmakers. This one did not affect the total. In case people missed it, it was 13-10 Philadelphia. The spread was anywhere, I believe, in between Philly minus 8.5 or 8 and Philly minus 10. And the Raiders had the ball, basically had a bunch of laterals. Philly returned it for a touchdown to go up 19-10, but then ended up kneeling instead of taking the extra point. Presumably for some good sportsmanship, they didn't want to rub it in. They didn't want to get anyone injured. But that left a lot of people angry on both ends. I guess if you had Philadelphia, and you were hoping to get a push, although did not deserve to get a push based on any facet of that game, or obviously those on the Raiders, who should have had a win and ended up with a loss. But just take me through that kind of sequence in the sports book.
You know, it didn't affect that much for us because most of the money on Philadelphia was in at minus 10. We did have one very big parlay bettor from Sunday had parlayed Patriots to Eagles minus 9 earlier in the week, so he ended up winning a straight bet on the Patriots, which was kind of a lucky win there. But most of the money on our end was on Philadelphia money line, just a lot of parlays to the Eagles money line. So we were going to take a pretty big loss on the game anyways. you got to feel for people that had the Raiders plus nine, or actually in our super contest, the contest number was 8.5. And
I saw a couple tickets on Twitter. Yeah.
That play actually swung the lead in the gold contest. This is the first time ever we have the super contest gold, $5,000 buy-in, winner take all. One of the leaders had the Raiders. One of the other leaders had the Eagles. And that play actually swung the lead going into week 17.
That is huge. And,
yeah,
I mean, it's also like going back to the money line bet. Like, this was tied. Raiders had the ball at midfield with about 3 minutes to go, and then Carr throws a pick. So
right,
let's not forget that. They get the field goal and then the scoop and score. A couple things. One is it was huge because they not only did they take the knee, but if that thing, like, if there's like 8 seconds left on the clock, they might kick the extra point. I think the smarter thing to do, because you want to prevent the block and scoop and score and then give the other team an on whatever, the smart thing to do, even with like a minute to go, is take a knee. If you think, well, maybe not a minute, but like 10 seconds to go, is to take a knee so you don't have a chance to make it a one-score game because it's sitting at 9. But regardless, that's huge. I mean, you guys were probably sweating out, like, are they going to kick it? Are they going to kick it? I think you should just also put up a prop bet before all these Monday night games next season. Will there be a touchdown on the final play of the game?
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. You know, what's funny, we were all – that was such a big decision. That was one of our bigger decisions of the year. So we were all texting – as that game was coming down the stretch, and Philadelphia made the field goal to go up 13-10. I kid you not, Jeff Sherman in our group text said, watch, we're going to get screwed on a lateral play right here. And before anybody could even like reply and be like, oh, shut up, they sure enough, lateral touchdown Philadelphia, and we got screwed. So Jeff Sherman,
what,
Nostradamus.
Four this year?
I think it's happened, yeah, I think four times, and the really costly one was still that Washington Kansas City Monday night one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But there's been a few of them this year.
The Dolphins had one.
Yeah, the Dolphins had one. I think that was against I want to say the Bengals. Nah, that doesn't sound right. There's been several of them this year, and the Redskins Kansas City one is still the most costly because it affected the point spread and the total, and I think the second half line too. This one did impact the second half point spread.
Yeah.
So, a lot of money changed hands on that play. There's no question about it. But it would have been more costly if Philadelphia had kicked the extra point and won by 10.
Yeah, it's also just, I don't know, we always go back to the old Chad Millmanism, you know, the winning side, the right side is the winning side. But anyone watching that game, the Eagles were never sniffing, covering that game throughout. The Raiders had seemingly about four opportunities on the Eagles side of the field. I think they missed a field goal. They did had so many mistakes. I mean, the Raiders were the right side in that game, and yet for a lot of people, unlike the Super Contest, they didn't end up covering. So that's a rough one.
Well, I feel like the Eagles did everything they could to blow that game, basically. And they left it there, but the Raiders just wouldn't take it, Ben.
They wouldn't.
And that guy with minus nine in the parlay should really sit a few plays out because he's playing with house money at that point.
He already just started firing right away. Like right after it was posted, he just started firing in on week 17. That's the beauty of sports betting, Doug. There's always next week.
He's hot. Okay, so we're taping this Wednesday afternoon, 3:45 Eastern. Adam Schefter just tweeting that Patrick Mahomes will start for the Chiefs. Yeah. This is the fun nature of week 17, but also the headache. And we talked about it last week on the podcast, because you talk about advanced lines, so you guys did this essentially last Tuesday, but now you know a lot more outcomes researching that story that Ben alluded to. Only one game this weekend involves two teams with quote-unquote incentive for the playoffs to play. That's Carolina and Atlanta. That's the easiest point spread to make. The others, of the other 15, 10 of those 15 have one team that is incentivized to play. Now, whether that means they're going all out or not is another headache. So just take me through the bookmaking of this week 17.
Well, you were spending a lot of time looking at Twitter to get little nuggets like the one you just read from Schefter. And like any other week, we're letting the market dictate where we move a lot of these things. But we've seen guys, some guys that we respect, have actually already made bets that have gone drastically against them. And we had a guy that we consider to be a sharp player. He laid four on the Rams, I think either yesterday or the day before, and right now he can get Rams plus three because the Rams have basically, well, the Rams have pretty much come out and said, you know, we're not going to play, you know, they're not going to go all in on this game. So I think the bettors should be cautious, Doug. This is a tough week, and it's always hard to pick Sunday's games on Wednesday. That's true every week, but I'd say even more so this week.
It's funny you mentioned that. I interviewed Krakenberger, a crack man who's been a guest on this podcast for the article, and one of his lines that he said, I would not wager any serious money on week 17.
It's definitely tough, and especially, you know, making bets on Monday or Tuesday for Sunday's games when you just don't even know. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Carolina-Atlanta game, and you're absolutely right, but every other game on the board, we don't really know what these teams are thinking or what they're planning.
And wait, let's go back to last year. And this is something, when I spoke to Ed Sammons, he brought it, and also Jason Symbol over at CG Technology, is there was a Giants-Redskins game where the Giants didn't have anything to play for. The Redskins had to win to get in the playoffs. And it was like a seven-point game or something instead of like pick. And the Giants said, hey, we're riding the momentum here. None of this on-off switch. And they went and won the game.
I think the Redskins were actually an even bigger favorite than that. I think it was more like nine-ish.
Okay.
And then they, Cousins, the Redskins actually were on the, they were right there almost into field goal range. And then on first down, Cousins like threw one off his back foot into like quintuple coverage. And the Giants picked it off and ended the game.
It's almost like he remembers this like a Redskins fan or something.
I remember, Ben, I just have a mind like a steel trap, Ben. That's all it is.
Exact down and everything. No, I was going to echo Doug. I think a couple years ago, I want to say the Bills needed the win to get into the playoffs. The Patriots did not, and the Bills were like, you know, a 9-point favorite or something, some spread that would never happen. I believe the Patriots ended up not rest, or even they rested some starters, and they still won and obviously covered. But yes, I think the general trend that all of us are saying for listeners is just, we're not saying don't bet week 17. Certainly we want, John to stay employed. However, it is just more difficult, and you're reliant so much more on information too, and figuring out who is going to play, how long they're going to play. And also more and more, it seems like it's dictated by the score of the game. And so again, maybe if you're a team that doesn't have much to play for and you go down early, all of a sudden you're not going to come back because you're going to sit everyone else. Cause why are you going to try and come back from a 17-0 game that means nothing to you? So there's also the second half lines and other opportunities that may be a little easier than trying to bet the game beforehand.
And there's one case, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, but Pittsburgh, they'll probably be scoreboard watching the New England score. Cause if New England gets ahead of the Jets 14-0, the Steelers will probably start taking guys out of the game. But if the Jets maybe get an early lead somehow, Pittsburgh would still have a chance to get the number one seed. So they'll be keeping a pretty close eye on what's going on in New England in that game.
Right. So both teams have clinched a first round bye. New England controls the fate of the one versus a two seed. If they win, they're in. Pittsburgh has a New England loss in addition to a Steelers win. So we're going to get into each game individually. But while researching this piece, it sounds like you guys are more elastic, more willing to get off a number with certain bets than you would normally during the season.
Oh, we definitely are, because this week is like the great unknown of all the weeks of the NFL season, and we're not going to be married to any numbers on week 17.
And on top of that, the key numbers are not always necessarily key. It's because you're going to see some 2-point conversions, fake punts, trick plays, just the whole – there's really no limitations to week 17.
Doug, there's probably some games where the teams don't want to go to overtime, kind of like we see that in the preseason where three is not as key of a number because teams don't want to go to overtime. They'll go for two instead of kicking the tying extra point. There's definitely a few games this week where I think both teams just want to go home.
I'm sure he'll point those out too. I'm excited for that. So we'll go first then to Cincinnati and Baltimore. We will go for listeners in the betting order, which they're originally on the board. A lot of these games were flexed to 425 because of the fact that both teams will be playing will have playoff implications, and so they don't want anyone to have an advantage. That being said, the Bengals going in and facing the Ravens, who need a win to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and we opened Baltimore minus 10, Ben, and right now we're sitting at Baltimore minus 9.5. Like you just said, Baltimore, they win this game. They are in the playoffs. I think they play at Kansas City next weekend. The Bengals might be trying to spoil things for their division rival here and send Marvin Lewis out with a win. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bengals give a pretty good effort in this game.
That was another thing that Crackman was saying. He's like, you know, a lot of these teams, they have nothing to play for the last few weeks, and then they get a chance to kind of have a playoff atmosphere and play the role of spoiler. And on the flip side, he also said sometimes these second stringers want to prove that they are that they're just as good as the starters, and they want to bring it all out. So,
and don't you guys think too? There's a lot of guys that are auditioning for a job next season, whether it's with the team they're on now or with another team.
Right.
So these guys are – there is some motivation there. There's no question about that.
And also, at some point, just competitive spirit takes over. Like,
yeah,
you know, they're not just going to go out there and just kind of – it's not the Pro Bowl, all right? They're going to make some tackles.
I agree. And you know the Bengals would love to knock Baltimore out of the playoffs. Those two teams have had a testy rivalry over the years. And then, so I don't expect the Bengals to just completely lay down here. And they're coming off of a nice win over Detroit and – I think they'll give Baltimore a game, I think.
It'll be interesting to see the crowd here because John Harbaugh has already complained about the game, like you mentioned, or Ben mentioned, the flex moving to 425 because of the significance of this game. All right, next game on the card, back at 1 p.m., Detroit lost to the aforementioned Bengals, so they were eliminated from the playoffs last week. So now this is a roll the dice here.
We opened Detroit minus 9. It looks like we might have been a little too high on that one. We saw the number immediately came down a little bit, and we moved with the market. And then we had some sharp guys come in and take Green Bay at 7 and 7.5. Right now we got the Lions as a 6.5-point favorite. It's kind of the game we were just talking about, guys, where it's hard to know how motivated either side is going to be here. This is a tough game to book. It's also a tough game to handicap.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing I'd add with Green Bay, I think Devontae Adams not playing, Jordy Nelson also not playing, Aaron Jones, their running back, also not playing. So Detroit, you never really know what you're going to get. I will agree with that.
I read a rumor on Twitter about the Lions were interested in John Gruden as their next head coach.
Everyone's interested in Gruden.
Not Jim Caldwell.
Every team in the league. No, I read there was a link of Gruden to the Lions.
He does gush about Stafford a lot. A lot of announcers though do too, but he particularly.
Well, I'm sure
gushes.
if you have a pick of whatever job you want, I mean, you would probably want to go to a team with a settled quarterback situation, and those jobs don't open up as often for obvious reasons.
Fair point.
That is true. Side note, I'm a huge Stafford fan, and he's terrifying to root against as a Vikings fan. So factor that in, you're handicapping. Moving on to the next game, Buffalo, a road favorite in Miami, and the Bills need a win to reach the playoffs. The first time, I think it's since 1999, is that correct?
Yeah.
Some insane
The Music City Miracle game.
The
Music City
that.
Miracle, that was their last playoff game.
And coincidentally, Tennessee is involved in their playoff scenarios.
Yes.
You know, I was actually at a Redskins-Buccaneers playoff game that same day. And this is before everybody had, like, cell phones and Twitter. And we saw on the scoreboard that Buffalo took the lead. And then when I got home that night after the Redskins game, I saw that Tennessee had won. And I was like, how is that even possible? And then I saw the replay on SportsCenter, I think. But we open this game, Buffalo minus 2.5, minus 120, and we are still sitting at Buffalo minus 2.5, minus 120. There's not a lot to report here action-wise. Buffalo needs this game to stay alive in the playoff race. Miami would probably like to knock them out of the playoffs, but so far the bettors haven't really waded in too much.
I was in Vegas for the Music City Miracle, and I had the second half over. That hit because of it.
Is that right? I didn't even know that. No, I just remember like I was with my brother at it was Redskins Lions wild card game, and I said, "Oh, cool, the Bills won." And then later we saw the score, and I was like, "How is that even possible?" Like there was like 8 seconds left. So
and now is the perfect time to mention our friend Adam Hill on the podcast, who insists the lateral was not a lateral.
That's a rough loss.
He's very nervous going into this week, Doug. Be sure to wish him the best on Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah. Next game is really the marquee game, 4:25 Eastern. Carolina at Atlanta. The playoff scenarios here: Carolina is into the playoffs, can earn either the 2, 3, 4, or 5, but would need some help from Ben's Vikings and some other scenarios. Atlanta needs a win or a Seattle loss just to get into the playoffs.
And we were a little surprised, guys, that they didn't flex this game to Sunday night, because it is the one game of the week where there's, you know, significant interest on both sides. Both teams have something to play for. We opened the game, Atlanta -3. It got as high as 4, and then we saw some sharp money come in on Carolina +4. Right now we've got the Falcons as a 3.5-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, that's a good game. I will be looking forward to see that, although I will say Carolina still seems to – they're a team that seems to play down to their competition. Just throwing that out there as the next game that we get to is New Orleans at Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay was that team that played them last week and was moving the ball up and down the field, except was kicking field goals. So they ended up covering but losing.
Yeah, well, field goals are for losers, so that makes sense. We would have loved to have seen Tampa Bay win that game, but we opened New Orleans -7.5 here. We've seen the line get knocked down a little bit. Right now, the Saints, a 7-point favorite on the road. I believe if they win this game, they clinch the NFC South.
That is correct.
So obviously, they'll be fully motivated this week for sure.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay. That 3-point loss on Monday Night Football against the Falcons, which they covered, and then another 3-point loss against the Panthers as 10-point underdogs, in which they covered. So they do have a ton of injuries, but they do still seem to be playing hard. Obviously, Jameis Winston threw a tantrum on the sideline. So if anyone is questioning whether he cares, he definitely still cares. They do have weapons with Mike Evans, but you never really know what you're going to get out of them either.
Well, they've been in a tough spot this year, Ben, where their division, the other three teams, all look to be possibly bound for the playoffs, and they've had a lot of injuries, like you mentioned, and the season just got away from them.
Yep.
Well, maybe Jameis just having some indigestion after eating all those losses that don't taste so good.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Doug, you're not a Jameis guy.
I'm okay. I just wasn't a fan of the eating of the W thing with licking his fingers and all that. I just didn't really understand.
Yeah. Well, he's odd.
He went after my boy Jerome Boger. Well, he went after my guy Jerome Boger on Sunday. I didn't care for that at all.
That's crossing the line.
You can't. Jerome Boger's off limits, Doug.
Deal breaker. You're okay. So the next game, this is really interesting for a variety of reasons. So Jacksonville is at Tennessee. Now Jacksonville is locked into the 3 seed.
Yes.
So there's sometimes apprehension to, you know, just rest versus rust, right? So you kind of want to play some guys, yet you could have a Saturday game, so a short week, and Tennessee could be chilly. I haven't looked at the weather, but this applies to other games where there's definitely going to be some cold weather throughout the country. So it is mind-boggling for my part to handicap this, because Tennessee obviously needs to win, and they need to pick up a loss from if Tennessee wins, they're in, but they could get in another way.
Tennessee wins, they're in, and I think what's really interesting is as long as Baltimore beats the Cincinnati Bengals, Tennessee with a win here would actually play Jacksonville. So if I was Jacksonville, I would want Tennessee to win. I would rather play Tennessee. I think Tennessee with my guy Mike Mularkey is an easy win for the Jaguars.
And have we heard anything on like playing status of Bortles and whatnot?
We have, and we were just talking about it before I called into the show, where the Jags are saying that they're going to play their guys because they're coming off a very, you know, they look bad on Sunday against the 49ers, and Doug Marrone is saying he doesn't want to go into the playoffs, you know, with no momentum. I don't believe him. I don't understand. If it was me, I would just want to get into the next week healthy, and like I said, I'd want to play Tennessee again. So the Jaguars are saying all the right things, and that's why you're seeing the line move down. It's all the way down to Tennessee -3 right now. But I'm very skeptical. I don't see why Jacksonville would want to go all in, knowing they have a wild card game the next week, and knowing it could be against the team that they're playing. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I think it has a lot. I watched a lot of that Jacksonville-San Francisco game, and I think that if they had played a decent game and lost and, you know, was whatever, 24-21 and it was close, and Bortles looked fine, then I think they would be sitting him this game. But that team was fighting on the sidelines. They were making dumb having dumb penalties. They did not look like a playoff team at all. I wonder whether it's half that they want, obviously they want Bortles to gain his confidence back because they're only going as far as he can take them by not throwing pick sixes. But I feel like it's also probably maybe for that team just as a motivational tactic and like, look, you know, maybe if you'd done this or done something else, then we would let you rest, but you're going to play some, you know, that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled him out in the second half. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to risk injuries. And again, for whatever Blake Bortles is worth, we know Chad Henne is not as good behind him. Even with that defense. So I'd be surprised if they played the full game. I agree with you there.
And if you're Jacksonville, wouldn't you just rather play Tennessee than potentially play the Chargers in the first round? To me, that's just a much easier matchup.
Yeah, I think with that defense, they probably don't care, or at least that's what they would say. But I think they're probably just more concerned about making sure Bortles gets his whatever confidence back. Because before that game, they'd won, I believe they'd won at least three straight. Yeah, they'd won three straight and covered those games, including a very convincing 45-7 win over the Texans. So they were feeling good, and then it did not look very good against the 49ers.
It'll be interesting to see if we get the good Blake Bortles or the fun Blake Bortles in the postseason. Because if the fun Blake Bortles comes out, it's going to get pretty ugly for Jacksonville. But if he can just kind of manage the game, there's so much talent on the defense of Jacksonville. I think they could potentially make a run. It's all up to Mr. Bortles.
The fun Blake Bortles is the only kind I know.
The fun? I prefer the fun Blake Bortles. You know I like fun quarterbacks that are constantly turning the ball over and making bonehead decisions. So I much prefer the Blake Bortles we had on Sunday in San Francisco.
So just on that game, finishing up, you opened six, and now it's at three.
Yeah, we opened Tennessee six all the way down to -3, -20 on Tennessee, and that's because of what we've read about Jacksonville saying that they want to use more of their starters. I mean, if Jacksonville was going all in for this game, if they had something on the line, then, you know, Jacksonville would probably be a small favorite on the road here. And that six-point opener, it probably was a little bit too high, but we just thought Pittsburgh was going to beat Houston, which they did, and then Jacksonville, without a bye to play for, was going to take it easy in this game.
All right, let's switch to the game where we're flirting with the highest point spread of the season. And Jets, what did it end up being? Was it Patriots-Miami or Jets-Saints?
I think it was Patriots-Miami, and I think they're about the same. Weren't they both 16 and a half?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was, depending on what book and what time you bet, it was probably right in the same neighborhood, Doug.
Gotcha. All right, so here we have New England. We talked about the scenarios. They control their own destiny, win, and they get the one seed. And they're hosting the Jets, who obviously are going to bring it, but I believe we're going to still get Bryce Petty here.
Well, Christian Hackenberg would be a lot more fun, yes. But I think it's Petty. New England, they win this game. They're the number one seed. We opened it, New England -15.5. It's still New England -15.5. This game's a lot like the Buffalo-Miami game. There's very little money in the pool so far. But I would imagine we'll see most of the money coming in on the Patriots, and the Patriots will be in every moneyline parlay, I'm sure.
Yeah, not much to say about that one. Probably not that much to say about this one. Houston going to Indy. I think Tom Savage is starting, but he may be in concussion protocol. T.J. Yates.
T.J. Yates, yeah.
Yeah, if not him, Taylor Heinicke, the former Vikings backup great. Probably not a lot going on in this game.
Well, there has been a lot of line movement here. We opened it as a pick'em on Sunday night, and then Houston looked so dreadful on Monday. They looked like a team that had just quit. And this line got all the way up to Indianapolis -4. We took some sharp bets, plus four, and now we've got the Colts as a 3.5-point favorite. So as bad as this game is, there has been some money on it, and there has been some line moves.
There you go. Yeah, Texans have lost five straight games overall. They're 1-4 in their last five, and they lost their last two games 45-7 and 34-6. So,
and they're just improving the Browns' draft choice, Ben.
Yeah,
every week.
They sure are. They sure
get a little bit higher.
And I love how we're just discussing, like, Houston looks so bad, but it's like, I mean, the Colts have lost six straight. Now, they did play pretty hard against Baltimore, but it's not like they're facing, like, a great team with just apathy or something, like, you know, like with backups in or something like that. This should be a barn burner out there. Let's switch gears to Pittsburgh. We touched on it already. Steelers locked in as a first-round bye, laying double digits to the 0-15 Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, we've already seen this line go down from Pittsburgh minus 14 all the way down to Pittsburgh minus 11. Mike Tomlin has come out and said he said he might not play some guys. But like I said earlier in the show, I think he's going to be doing a little scoreboard watching, Doug. If New England gets a big lead on the Jets, he might as well pull his guys out of the game. But if that game's close, that number one seed is so critical. Home field advantage in that AFC Championship game could make all the difference. If the Jets get an early lead in New England, Pittsburgh is going to go all out for this win.
I can't bet on the Browns. You could set that number at 21. I'm still going to take the Steelers.
It's going to be the same.
I can't do it again.
It'll be the same thing every week with the Browns. All the quote-unquote wise guys will take them. They'll knock the line down. And then they'll have a series of, like, turnovers in the end zone.
It's remarkable. We'll
cover.
It really is.
We had
a pick six last week against the Bears.
Yeah.
Called back.
It's just every week.
Offsides. I mean.
And they cost us. They cost us our first undefeated week of the year.
The Browns have cost a lot of people a lot of things. We did see some sharp money come in on the over in this game. Maybe they think my guy Deshaun Kizer will be able to lead some big offensive drives this week. Or maybe they think he'll just throw a bunch of pick sixes.
Yeah, either way.
We've seen a little bit of sharp money come in over 37.5. We've seen the total go up a little bit.
That is a low total.
That is low. The Steelers could score 40
themselves. It's tough to, you know, like we were just saying, if Pittsburgh pulls all their starters out because New England's winning by so much, the second half might just be nothing. So it's a tough game to handicap. But I know
that's why they pay the big bucks.
They love Cleveland, Ben. The Sharps love the Brownies. So do I. I love the Browns.
They do. They've just killed me this season, as they've killed many. But they are what they are. The next game, Washington, your Washington Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden with a two-game winning streak, hosting the New York Football Giants.
Well, only the Redskins
in New York.
It's in New Jersey. Yeah, only the Redskins, Ben, will be dumb enough to like get knocked out of the playoffs and then win their last three games and lower their draft pick by 10 spots.
Exactly.
We open this game, Redskins minus 3.5. Redskins right now minus 3, minus 120 at the Westgate. Saw some sharp money come in this morning on the over in this game. Maybe they're expecting some fireworks. Kirk Cousins, potentially his last game for Washington.
How are you feeling on the Kirk Cousins front? You think he's coming back?
I don't think so. I think they're going to let him go, actually. I think he's...
Wow.
Which I think is probably a mistake because, like I don't really think Kirk is that good, but then I look around the league, like, every week when we do these shows, and I look at all the quarterbacks on all these teams, and it's like, wow, Kirk Cousins, he stacks up pretty well against most of these other guys because there's some bad quarterback play out there.
Yeah, they're facing one this week in Eli Manning, who I still do not understand why the Giants are starting him week after week after week, but
yeah,
they are the Giants.
I don't understand why wouldn't the Giants want to get a look at that rookie Webb
Davis
or whatever
Webb.
His name is.
Yep.
I mean, you might as well – you have nothing to lose here. In fact, the worst thing that could happen is you go out and get a win and knock yourself down a couple rungs in the draft. So there's nothing – no reason at all for the Giants to – play Eli Manning this week.
Well, there's no harm. There's no concern of him winning, so I wouldn't be too concerned.
Okay,
I've been ranting on radio all week as I've been filling in on various shows. It is idiotic that the Giants will have the 2 or the 3 pick and that they don't know what they have in Davis Webb. It's just that simple. You need to know what you have before you have a chance to take a franchise quarterback. And all these people who complained, you can't do that to Eli. Well, look what happens when fans or emotion hijack a franchise. You've lost every game since. Eli, what do you do? Zero TDs, two picks last week. Congratulations. He's incredibly overrated to begin with. And what do you – now what? Now what? What do you do? Stupid.
I agree with Doug. And the silliest logic is the team owes it to the player. The Giants have probably paid Eli Manning something like $150 million.
No, nope, 200. Years. 200 million.
200 million. I looked it up. So I just laugh when I hear that. It's like when the Lakers gave Kobe that like tribute contract at the end of his career because they owed it to him.
Right.
They
$300 million.
$300 million. So the Lakers didn't owe Kobe anything, and the Giants don't owe Eli Manning anything. He's been paid very handsomely for his services over the years. So I agree with you guys, and I don't see why they wouldn't at least try to get a look at this kid. Although if they wanted to lock in the higher draft pick, they should probably go with Geno Smith here.
I don't know, man. Geno played pretty hard. They almost won in Oakland.
I agree. That's true.
That's fair. Unnecessary shot at Geno. Let me retract that one.
That's been stewing for a while.
Okay, so we got Minnesota in the driver's seat for number two seed.
Yeah.
And they're hosting Chicago, coming off the emphatic win over our beloved Browns.
Yeah, Minnesota is an 11.5-point favorite, which is exactly what we opened this game. Not a whole lot of money yet. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of money line parlays on Ben's Vikings. They got to get this W to get the first round bye, so just a very critical game for the Vikings. The Bears, I mean, I guess you can make a case they're playing for John Fox's job here down the stretch. That's about all I can come up with for the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. I'll toss that out there. Vikings, the best team in the league against the number this season at 11-4, including 8 of their last 9 games. So this is a high number. I think they've only been a double-digit favorite twice this season. Once was in London, technically a road game against the Browns, where they did cover as an 11-point favorite, although that game was much closer than the final score. And then last 2 weeks ago against the Bengals at home, which was a 13-point favorite, and a game that was 34-7 that was probably not as close as that score even indicates. Yeah. So, yes, I believe there's 4 things that all would have to go wrong for the Vikings not to get the number 2 seed, and the first one would be them losing this game, which I am pretty confident won't happen. So
I think me and Ed were talking about this on Sunday. Wouldn't you rather be the 4 seed in the NFC? Potentially, the 3 seed will potentially have to go at Minnesota if they win. The 4 seed might get to go into Philadelphia, play Nick Foles. Seems like that 3 seed got a much tougher draw if they do get through the first round.
Yeah, I was talking to a fellow Minnesota fan, John Plume, who is one of our NFL Nation editors, or runs NFL Nation for ESPN, another big Minnesota fan. And we were saying we would probably rather go to Philadelphia than have to face, let's say, the Saints or the Rams, like you said, as the 3 seed.
Yeah.
I'm sure they feel the same way after watching the Eagles the last couple weeks without Carson Wentz.
Well, I don't think that there's a big difference between teams 5, 6, and count Seattle as 7, so I don't know that you're going to have a big difference in your wild card matchup, but there's certainly a really big difference in that next round. You'd much rather be playing Philadelphia with Nick Foles than going on the road against Ben's Vikings. So the 4 seed really might be the better slot than number 3.
Yeah, I would agree.
When are teams going to, I talked about this on radio as well, are we just going to have to wait for the Vikings to hoist the Lombardi trophy for us to like take them seriously?
No, they've been underrated all year.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
It shows in the point spread stat that Ben just gave us, that they've been an undervalued team all year, and it's hard to get away from them right now as the best team in the NFC as we go into the playoffs here.
But everyone, I guarantee you, but let's say they're the 2 seed. Who do you think, when we do our analysts on radio, all right, let's pick a team to come out. How many people are going to pick a 1 or a 2 seed in the AFC? Like, let me have it this. Would you rather pick the 1 or the 2 seed in the NFC or anybody else or the field in the NFC? Like, would you rather have the 1 or 2 seed given the Wentz injury or 3 through 6?
People would say 4 through 6 because then you've got everybody against Minnesota, basically, because I think everyone's going to write off Philadelphia after what happened on Monday.
And I think that's a little premature.
I agree with that. But I can tell you right now, if let's just say the number three seed is L.A. or New Orleans, if they win a resounding victory in the wild card round, everybody will be picking them in round two against Minnesota. Because people are going to forget how good Minnesota is during that bye week.
It's very true. It happens every year. People forget.
Happens every year.
People forget. There's a reason these teams have a bye. It's because they're very good. Mm-hmm.
Like if New Orleans, let's just say New Orleans plays the Falcons or the Seahawks and they win by, you know, four touchdowns, everybody's going to be picking New Orleans at Minnesota in round two. Happens every year.
I'm excited for that.
We'll be there to
break it
down.
Forward to, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the team that is locked into the number one seed, the aforementioned Philadelphia Eagles, host Dallas Cowboys in otherwise a meaningless game as the Cowboys eliminated last week after a loss to the Seahawks.
That was a mighty fine effort from the Cowboys last week. We opened at Dallas -2.5. Right now we've got Dallas -3, even money. Philadelphia, they clinched the number one seed with their win on Monday night, but I almost feel like if I was the Eagles, I'd want to get my offensive guys some reps this week because they got next week off, and it looks like that offense needs a lot of work, Ben.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I would almost start my offense and rest my defense because, as you said, they've only really had 2 weeks with Nick Foles, yeah, and they looked pretty good against a really terrible Giants defense and then looked really bad against a really bad Oakland defense. So I would give them at least a half, and knowing that the defense is what's going to carry you in the playoffs, I would put bubble wrap on a lot of Fletcher Cox, a lot of those guys. I would not play them in this game.
Well, that offense that we saw on Monday doesn't look like it can survive sitting out for 2 weeks and just roll out onto the field in the playoffs. That was pretty tough to watch. And even Lane Johnson has probably been, for the last couple of years, the best player on their offense. He was getting beat like a drum in that game. So it wasn't all on Nick Foles.
No, definitely not. But the Philadelphia Eagles, you're not used to seeing them with 13 points late in the fourth quarter this season. Admittedly, with Carson Wentz under center and not Nick Foles, but it very clearly hasn't been the same team. So I would use that opportunity if I were them to get some more reps and then get everyone out of there and rest up for the playoffs.
And they could be – everything we just said about Minnesota, it probably will apply to Philadelphia even more. Because if they're playing a team coming in off of a huge win and wild card weekend, Philadelphia will probably end up being a home dog in the second round game. And everybody will be piling in on New Orleans or the Rams or whoever they're playing.
Yeah, so I guess with that, roughly where is – obviously Philadelphia has clinched the number one seed, but where roughly would you have them in your power ratings? Is Minnesota one in the NFC, strictly in the NFC?
I think Minnesota – I mean, at this point you'd have to say for sure that Minnesota and the Rams and the Saints are all ahead of them.
Yeah, and that's what I would think, yeah.
Then you get into Carolina, Atlanta. That's a little bit more debatable, but, you know, if Carolina, let's just say Carolina does win their wild card game on the road, they win by two touchdowns, and then they go into Philadelphia, I would expect them to be favored in a situation like that, coming in off of a big win, because people are not going to be looking to back the Eagles after what we saw on Monday.
Very interesting. Moving out.
So hold on.
Go ahead, Doug.
So just your futures is really fascinating. So you have the Vikings at +180 to win the NFC. And then you have the Eagles at +350. So the one seed will be +350. And then the Saints and Rams also +350 or $3.
And there's one thing to note about that is we're in excellent shape on the Eagles in both of those, Super Bowl and the NFC pool. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting to see the Eagles at 7-2 and the Saints at 3-1, when the Eagles would have to win one less game. I mean, that should really tell you a lot about where the Eagles rank right now and how much they miss Carson Wentz.
It's just fascinating, and but that's Week 17 as well, as we were touching on the Eagles' best record in the NFL, but home underdogs. and to a team that has eight wins, right? A team that's barely over 500.
Yeah. We talked about this last week. We talked about it last week where I said when Ed and I did those look-ahead lines last Tuesday, it took us such a long time, and we made the Cowboys a three-point favorite last Tuesday because we thought Philadelphia would beat the Raiders and we'd be in this exact situation. Now, we thought Philadelphia was going to look a little bit better than they did, but we had a feeling that they would have everything clinched going into this game.
Well, the Raiders had a valiant effort, but did not pull off the W. Lost by nine, which is just crazy thinking about it, how close that game was. They had a chance to win with a few minutes ago. But anyways, so now the Raiders, off a short week, are in L.A. to play the Chargers. And the Chargers, obviously, have plenty to play for. The Chargers earn a playoff berth with a win in this game, but also need Tennessee to lose and Baltimore to win.
So, yeah, I mean, they should get the Baltimore win, so they're really going to need... They need Tennessee to lose to Jacksonville. But that goes back to what I said earlier. Like, does Jacksonville really want to win that game and end up having to play the Chargers instead of the Titans? I would much rather play the Titans than the Chargers. But this game here, we opened the Chargers as a 7.5-point favorite. We still have them as a 7.5-point favorite. I mean, a lot of money line parlays of guys parlaying all these teams in the must-win spots, like Minnesota being one of those teams, Baltimore being one of those teams. So I think we'll see the Chargers included in a lot of money line parlays.
I like that game a lot. That'll be my pick. Moving forward.
Oh, not even teasing. Yeah. Just putting it out there.
Well, I said that. You don't even know which game. That is my tease.
Fair enough. Moving to the other high leverage game in the NFC, the wild card race, the Cardinals coming off a resounding victory over those New York Giants going into Seattle to face a Seahawks team that must win and then hope the Falcons lose to get that number six seed.
And we open Seattle minus 7.5. It's up to minus 9.5 already. Everything I just said about Chargers money line also applies to Seattle money line. It's the must win again. Arizona doesn't have anything to play for. Everybody's going to be including Seattle in those money line parlays.
Yeah, and then a report surfacing, I believe, from Michael Lombardi via Pro Football Weekly or something that Arians was going to retire. Arians has refuted the report. So just adding some more intrigue to this game, along with Earl Thomas telling the Cowboys to come get him potentially if he's a free agent after next season. So a lot of off the field things swirling around this game.
You know, Seattle really saved us this past Sunday that we won a ton of money on that game. And that had to be one of the uglier football games I've ever watched. I think I read Seattle had more penalty yards than offensive yards, and they still won the game.
Yeah, first team to do that and win since, like, the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot about the Cowboys' offensive performance on Sunday.
You're referencing my Seattle pick that I had last week?
No, that's the one you're referencing. You know what? That was a good pick. That number came down a little bit.
Was it really a good pick? I mean, come on.
It was a winner.
It was going to be an ugly game either way. The Seahawks didn't deserve to win.
So would Eagles minus 8.5 been a good pick?
No. Eagles minus 8.5 was not a good pick. We really needed that game. We really wanted Carolina to lose in the morning session. It would have wiped out so many parlays. But Seattle,
including mine.
Seattle winning, beating Dallas was and I said last week on the show I knew that was going to be maybe the biggest decision of the week, and it was. We needed Seattle to win, and they did. They didn't really do much to earn that win, but they got the win nonetheless. So that's all that counts.
This is true.
No further comment, Your Honor.
Kansas City against Denver. Chiefs locked into the four seed already. Will be playing next week at home.
Yeah, Kansas City most likely is going to play Baltimore next week. It sounds like they're going to rest almost everybody, and Patrick Mahomes is going to get his first career start here. It sounds like Paxton Lynch is going to go for the Broncos. Not a lot to report betting-wise, guys. We opened it Denver minus 3.5. Denver still 3.5-point favorite here. This is one of those games where it's hard to just tell how motivated Denver's going to be because Kansas City doesn't have anything to play for at all. They just want to stay healthy for one more week.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one game on the board I would run the other direction from, it would probably be this one. You have Paxton Lynch, who has started one game, I believe, before he got injured and looked terrible, against Patrick Mahomes, who hasn't started any games, with you're not exactly sure how much of his offense in a meaningless game for them. I don't know.
Tough. Just to piggyback on what you said, but it's a tough one to pick because Kansas City has nothing to play for, but do you want to lay points at home with Paxton Lynch?
Yeah.
It's a tricky game, for sure.
I want a Matt Flynn-type effort from Pat Mahomes in Week 17, and I want to hear the should they start him.
Oh, that'd be very fun. If Mahomes throws like five touchdown passes and the media says the hot take is to bench Alex Smith for the playoff game, that would be great.
It'll I take it back. I will at least watch the game because I want to see what Mahomes does. I think it's also worth noting it is still the Denver defense, and the last thing they're probably going to want to do is let a rookie quarterback throw all over them. But it'll be fascinating to watch because Kansas City gave up a lot to go up and draft Mahomes ahead of teams like the Cardinals and other ones. So it'll be interesting to
Denver
see
him defense.
In his debut.
The Denver defense isn't what the Denver defense was under Wade Phillips, though. But
no.
Yeah, they'll be motivated for sure against a rookie quarterback.
Or you're even right. 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And our final
gotten away
game. Yeah, it has. Our final game on Sunday, no Sunday night game. San Francisco 49ers. Now with Jimmy Garoppolo, all of a sudden a completely different team. I believe they now have tied their win total and could – potentially surpass it, which would have been impossible to think several weeks ago, taking on the LA Rams, and the Rams as a home underdog, as we discussed, because they are potentially sitting a lot of people for this game.
Yeah, and this game is kind of like the personification of everything we've been talking about, how hard it is, week 17. The Rams, we opened at 6.5 on Sunday night. Look, that was probably a little bit too high. We lowered it down to 4, and then we actually had a known player who does well here laid Rams minus 4. So as the market has continued to go the other way, and the quotes came out today from Sean McVay saying he's going to probably rest a lot of players, this line has swung all the way to San Francisco minus 3 even money as we record this on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, and the 49ers, I mean, they look like a completely different team under Garoppolo, 3-1 against the number. And the only game they didn't cover was a 2-point victory over the Titans when I believe it closed at 2.5. So
yeah,
nearly 4-0 against the number, and they've, you know, he went right up and down the field against that Jaguars defense.
Yeah, they look like a completely different team with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's very impressive, and I'm such a big fan of Kyle Shanahan's. But it's going to pain me next year when I have to go against them, Ben, because I know they're going to be the trendy pick by everybody next season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what would you make the very, very, very early over-under for them?
We talked about, that on Sunday. We already had this conversation. I mean, we didn't like go deep into their schedule or anything like that. We were just kind of shooting the breeze while we watched some of the afternoon games. But we're thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 7.5.
Yeah.
Maybe even see some 8s out there. But I know we talked about this last week. That's a tough division. I know Seattle's getting older, but the Rams are a team on the rise. Looks like they're here to stay. And the Cardinals really do have a lot of good players. They just don't have a quarterback, and they had a lot of injuries this year. So the 49ers have no playmakers at all. So maybe if they can get Garoppolo, maybe that kid from SMU, the receiver, or Ridley from Alabama, they're going to need to get him somebody, you know, some good receivers to throw the ball to if they want to get serious about contending.
But yep, and they will have Pierre Garçon coming back next year. He's been on IR. But, yes, they need a couple more weapons. But that's why it's even more impressive with what he's doing with the current weapons he has around him.
Do you guys think I'm crazy if I think the Patriots should have kept Garoppolo and then traded Brady this offseason?
No, I don't think that's that crazy. Well, it's impossible to answer that question unless you know what the return on Brady would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, Garoppolo is, look, if I think we talked about this earlier when Rodgers got hurt, At the time, Garoppolo was still the Patriots' backup quarterback, and we said that the power rating dip for New England wouldn't be nearly as much as Green Bay. It's nothing against Brady, but they would have gone from Brady to Garoppolo. They still would have had Belichick. The Patriots would have been fine with Garoppolo as their quarterback.
Well, I only say that because they know, right? Like, Belichick was with them every day, and everyone raved about him, and he looks the part, and he's gleaned wisdom under a legend like Brady and Belichick. Yeah. I just feel like, obviously, it'd be early on Brady's career because he's still pretty sharp. Yeah. But if you have to pick, I mean...
One thing I said to Ed when the
But you want to win now, too. Trade, I mean, you want, that's the thing. You want to be able to win now, and obviously Brady gives you that luxury.
When the Niners made this trade initially, I said to Ed, okay, Garoppolo must not be that good because there's no way Belichick would have traded him. So I've been very surprised by how well he's played so early.
I think they just got backed into a little of a corner, they being the Patriots, and they would have liked to get rid of or not get rid of him, to trade him for, you know, I believe there were reported packages of 2 1s or whatever out there. But the issue was no quarterback has been this good after 40. And so they kind of wanted to take a peek and make sure that, you know, it seemed like Brady wasn't regressing at all before they traded Garoppolo. And I don't think they wanted to franchise him and have, you know, $40 million plus wrapped up into two quarterbacks. But they just kind of, you know, I don't think they initially thought Brady was going to last this long, and their kind of timeline for their quarterbacks was pretty much perfectly set up when we would think, okay, Brady will start to fall off, and now we have this great guy behind him. It'll be perfect, and Brady's just kind of ruined that in a good way because he's just been so dominant that he just keeps going.
And there was a good article on ESPN.com I read yesterday about this, and I think they said one of the things that they wanted to do was trade Brady to the NFC, which makes sense. And I think it mentioned
Garoppolo,
the Browns had made it. I'm sorry, Garoppolo, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Garoppolo to the NFC. And I think it mentioned that the Browns had made an offer, but the Patriots were nervous that if they traded Garoppolo to the Browns, that Josh McDaniels would follow. So they liked that they could trade Garoppolo to the NFC, to a team with kind of a settled coaching situation, so they wouldn't also end up having their coaching staff raided in addition to losing Garoppolo. So it made a lot of sense, but you have to think they could have gotten a little bit more than a second-round pick for him because he looks like he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler right now.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks great.
On Monday, Golic and Wingo, we did a poll question: who's better looking, him or Brady? Just, you know, with the hard-hitting stuff out there. So
there's some hours to fill in the holidays.
Who dreamed up that poll? Who was the one who
I believe Golic. Golic Jr.
Golic
Jr. was.
That's a real window into the show there.
Yeah. really hardcore stuff.
Interesting.
All right.
Who did you vote for?
I did not. I actually retweeted the poll questions saying I need an hour to come up with a vote on this.
You didn't like create a fake account so that you could vote without anybody knowing it was you?
No, and Riley Foreman, one of our researchers, was on the show, and we actually went to research because Golic was like, you know, I'm thinking Jimmy G's better looking, and she goes, research confirms.
Jimmy G's quite a bit younger. He's like, he's like 15 years younger than Brady.
It really comes down to the dimples versus the chimple. Like, like that's really what it comes down to. All right.
Sorry, I missed that show.
We've officially gone off the rails. You could download a podcast. Best of luck with week 17 and the headache that is halftime lines, movement, money lines, all that fun stuff. I imagine you're excited about it. It'll be fun to watch from afar.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting week, and it'll also be interesting that we'll be able to get the four wild card lines up right away on Sunday afternoon. Normally, we have to wait until after the Sunday night game to get all the playoff lines set.
That's a great point. That's a very good point.
That is. Speaking of great points, do you have a great pick for us that you want to give us for week 17?
For the NFL, I can't. Have I reached the Jimmy Vaccaro territory where I don't have to? I don't have to pick. You know what? I went back and listened to the Vaccaro show, and I loved it because at the end, you guys asked him for a pick, and he just basically laughed and was like, "I don't know what the hell is going to happen." So, Vaccaro is 40 That's years true. In the business has taught him quite a bit.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going to happen in any of these games. You know what? I'll take my Redskins. I'll tell you why, Ben. They're the only team dumb enough. They're the only team that's dumb enough to win their last three games and not and lower their draft choice. And I'm pretty sure the Giants want to lose, so that I'll take the Skins minus -3. But I secretly kind of hope that they lose so that they don't lower their draft pick too much. I like Alabama on Monday against Clemson. I think Alabama's going to win.
We will take the NFL pick only.
But we'll take the advice.
It's got to be all NFL. No, let me give you all my UFC 219 picks too.
Perfect.
Ben?
Put me down the Skins, Ben.
Well, I said that Murray was killing me because that was my pick, Washington minus -3.
Oh, good company. I'm in good company.
Yeah, the Giants are terrible. I don't know why they're starting Eli Manning. Landon Collins has a broken forearm, so he is out. I believe that I just saw an email come across that they are benching Eli Apple after all of that. So the defense's best talent is gone. I don't even know. I didn't check Evan Ingram, but I think he was out with a concussion after the first quarter last week. Regardless, Washington is a much better team. 3 points is too low, so I like them. But I can't do the same pick as you, so I will also go Carolina on the road. The Falcons are so up and down. I just think Carolina's defense running game, they either win that game or they keep it close. I'll take the 4 points at every other book except for yours.
Well, we'll give you the 4. I mean, it's the holiday season, Ben.
Beautiful.
You'd be amazed how often customers come up to the window and they're like, hey, can you just move the line to this so we can bet? I'm like, no.
Wait a minute.
What? I've never heard
that. People ask that all the time, especially, Doug, not so much with games, but more so with futures. It's like, well, this was 25-1. Can I have 25-1? I'm like, no. Are you kidding me, man? Absolutely not. We did take a smart bet on Carolina plus +4. Ben, this could be the week where the smart NFL bettors finally get some W's here. So
could be.
I support you.
Fascinated by those requests. Are they sharps just saying, hey, you just moved it, or is they like completely?
No, the sharp player, the more experienced bettors, they understand how it works. The lines move. They don't even complain. They just walk away. But it's more like novices that they think like, well, you know, I'd much rather have 7.5 than 7. Like, yeah, well, it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah. So you just quote Austin Powers. Yeah, I want a toilet made out of solid gold, but it's just not in the cards.
Pretty much, man. I'm the Grinch this holiday season, Doug. I'm not moving any lines for anybody.
All right, so pressure's on. I've been by the way, my plus +140 parlay hit, for those that were curious.
Very nice.
It took the Eagles on Monday night to get there. Well, the last team I added was the Rams, so that got a little hairy as well. But nonetheless,
yeah,
I was a little apprehensive about laying all that wood with the Carolina and stuff like that. But you play to win the game, as Herm Edwards told us. So I am going to lay the points with the Chargers. I didn't think the Raiders would have enough in the tank to go into Philly and compete because of that emotional letdown of the fumble out of the end zone against the Cowboys that eliminated them from the playoffs. Now I really think they're running on empty. I like the Chargers in the spot. Chargers are a pretty solid team. I know it's over one score, but I'll lay the 7.5 with the L.A. Clippers.
Doug, you don't want to request minus -7 or minus -6.5? You're just going to go ahead and lay the No, we got 7.5 at the book. And what you're saying does make sense, all kidding aside. The Raiders, you would think they kind of blew everything on Monday night. They gave Philadelphia all they could handle. They know they have nothing to play for on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to like rally for Jack Del Rio's job. Carr doesn't look exactly healthy. They just got a lot of issues. I think the season needs to end. And the Chargers, they've been pretty solid. Obviously a closer game with the Jets than they preferred. But
you're a Southern California guy. What do you think the crowd's going to be like at the StubHub Center on Sunday? Will it be like, I know if the Raiders were in playoff contention, it would probably be like 75% Raiders.
Yeah, it would be the black hole, definitely. But,
right, but what's it going to be like with the Raiders eliminated and the Chargers still fighting for a playoff spot?
Empty.
Just nobody there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a small stadium, but true. I just think I don't think anyone wants to go.
That's a ringing endorsement for moving two teams to Los Angeles, huh? You know what? There's
I will say that two Los Angeles teams who are both very good, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers
could have
the Rams.
Them both in the playoffs this year. So yeah. Mm-hmm. The Rams are very that's a great, fun team to be a fan of. There's so much to look forward to with the Rams, for sure. So I think when they get the new stadium, the Rams will be a pretty hot ticket.
All right, man, we got to wrap things up. We're against the clock here in studio space. Looking forward to next week. We'll touch on what we will know by then, the national championship matchup, in addition to the playoff matchups. Can we go 3-0, please, guys?
Doug, I got to run because I got to do a VSiN spot. My final comment, I picked the Patriots on VSiN. You know what your friend Matt Heumann said to me? He said, I need a serious pick out of you, Murray. And I go, what does that even mean? My serious pick is the Patriots. They won by 3 touchdowns. Unbelievable, man.
That
I'm going to pick the Patriots again this week just to stick it to that. So that's a little preview of the show I'm getting ready to do now.
You know, it's funny, real quickly, Matt did his column in the Las Vegas Review-Journal for years. And, you know, if you're in print and you have to get 3 or 5 picks against the spread, you can't just lay, like, combined 50 points, right? You can't just lay all double-digit dogs, or excuse me, favorites. Well, at one point he just laid, I think, 15.5 with the Colts and Peyton Manning at the peak. And he was relaying a conversation his editor had. He's like, oh, you're taking the Colts. He's like, I'm sick of giving away these free winners. And it was just the Colts are just pounding teams. I think they were playing the Jags. And, of course, the Colts covered easily and blew them out. And you know,
Patriots covered easily, too. That's the name of the game, right? All I needed was a touchdown to be overturned for no apparent reason.
Yeah, easy.
I got the easy cover.
Yeah. Because it really was a 4-point margin. You have to play 4 quarters, so the Bills fans that were complaining about that do have a legit complaint, but you also need to play 4 quarters and not get blown out.
Well, now we're sounding off by upsetting both Matt Heumann and Adam Hill.
There you go.
I think we need to cut this thing before we hurt any of our other friends' feelings. But you guys have a fun week.
You too, bud.
Take
care,
buddy.
All right, that is John Murray, odds maker and manager at the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. Ben, put a bow on this thing. We touched on earlier the piece I have coming out on Thursday about Week 17. It really is quite the circus.
It is. Every year it seems to, I don't know. I mean, this year maybe there's a little less on the line playoff-wise. It seems like usually there's 4 or 5 games where, you know, wild card or the home field is up for grabs. But this year, especially with new quarterbacks, and you have Paxton Lynch, you have Patrick Mahomes, you've all sorts of things to look forward to, and just a weird week that a lot of research will need to go in, both as we said, on both sides of the counter.
All right, so you continue to enjoy your holiday break and work from remotely in New York, and we'll see you back. Are you going to be here next week?
I will, yes. Okay. I'll be going to Nets T-Wolves on Wednesday night, a week from tonight, in the lovely Barclays Center, and then I will drive back.
Oh, yeah.
And then I will drive back early Thursday morning.
Yeah, your T-Wolves smoked my Lakers on Christmas Day, but that happens. They're out, no Ingram, no Alonzo. That's going to happen. But, all right, so we'll get your thoughts down the road on Tibbs' minute usage of all of the star players and whether they'll have a team in the second half of the NBA season. But all that can wait. Best of luck to all the bettors and pick 'em leagues this weekend. And we'll revisit all the playoffs point spreads next week when we get together here on the Behind the Bets podcast. For Ben Fox, I'm Doug Kazarian.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.